This is Darwin Turf Talk with Sam Hyland and Chris Nelson.
Welcome to another week of Darwin Turf Talk and with my offsider, Chris Nelson. Chris, we're on the quick backup.
We are, Sammy. Jeez, I don't know how we're going to handle the quick backup. We're not getting any younger.
Now, we're going to have a chat to Andrew O'Toole off the top and get we'll talk about last week's meeting and then obviously get some tips going into Friday's meeting. Good meeting there. And we're going to have a chat to Tayan Holter, who is a local trainer that has been in top form. She was a former jockey and she's just a good oak, Tayan Holter, and she'll have plenty to chat about. She's got a heap of runners going into Friday's meeting. And then Chris Nash. Nashy, I know from getting out and on the drink with down in Melbourne at different times. But he's a bit more disciplined than me, Chris, and he goes home early, which is a positive anyway. That's
didn't
for
he
sure.
Play, that's... Sammy, didn't he play football for Richmond? Isn't that Chris? No.
I don't think it's the same one. I don't think it's the same
one. I actually think it was Chris Nash that played football for Richmond. So we're missing an eye. Anyway.
You just mixed tea. Typical of you to bring Richmond into it, isn't it?
Sorry,
but the main man at the top end is Andrew O'Toole, and he has been tipping up a storm. Only I'm not sure that he was on the mark with the, and I won't be surprised by this, with To The Point taking out the first race at last week's meeting. Gee, Andrew, that got up at good odds.
Yeah, morning, boys. He certainly did To The Point. I had him in the mix. I had him in to run third. Then there was a scratching, so he moved into second place. But that's hardly anything to hang my hat on, I suppose. But
he's going great.
Take it.
he's going great, that horse. In fact, he's one of the small three-horse team trained by Chloe Baxter, who's only had her license for about 6 months and is putting together a fantastic strike rate and a fantastic record. And she's represented again this week by a very smart horse called First Crusade. We'll talk about him a little later, and also Swing With Junior. But To The Point going well, as his co-owner or co-owner's commentator Craig Santers in To The Point, as is his lovely wife Anne. So they were pretty excited last Saturday when To The Point did the business.
Sia Cam is he's just like he's tricky, isn't he? This horse, like, because I thought he would win that race.
Yeah, he's tricky, all right. I can't even say his name, and I'm never sure if it's Seacam, Siakam, Siakam. I never know, but he is tricky. He's a horse that really needs his own rules and everything going right for him. He got taken on last week, funnily enough, by the stablemate Obligatory, and they sort of looked like they were going to fight it out, that pair, the Clark pair, and To The Point, aided by a lovely Casey Hunter ride. She just sat right behind them, peeled off on the home bend, and had the momentum up and was able to run them down late to win cozily by a length and a half. But he's racing well, Siakam or Siakam or whatever you call him, and you always have to have him in your trifecta for sure.
Andrew, To The Point would have to be Chloe Baxter's favourite horse. I mean, he's only had 5 starts for Chloe, and he's won 3 of them and placed the other 2.
Yeah, he's certainly right up at the top of her list, that's for sure, Chris. He's a 4-year-old. He's by Bull Point. He's out of a supreme class mare. And Chloe's, she only, as I say, been training a short time, but she's got this knack of buying tried horses that produce here. First Crusade, I mean... He's a really smart young horse that she purchased a few short months ago. He was her first runner, and then To The Point, her second, and then she bought another horse that raced here during the carnival called Swing With Junior, bought off Kim Hahn, and he hasn't yet won for Chloe, but he's knocking on the door, and he gets another chance tomorrow.
Batpad took out the second race and paid well, this horse.
Yeah, it was over the odds. I was a Niwand fan here. Unfortunately, Niwand went a good race, but had a little bleed, which is not unusual. So he'll be on the sidelines for a little while, Niwand. But Batpad racing really well this mare. She'd put together 3 in a row. Then ran at the tail at her previous start, but nothing went right that day behind Mr. Cashman. But she certainly bounced back to her best form in the hands of Sonia Wiseman for Mark 9. I know Mark's got a pretty high opinion of this little mare, a daughter of Brazen Bow, and she's now won 5 of her 19 starts and going great for Mark 9.
And Mr. Cashman certainly wasn't disgraced?
No, he wasn't. He won a good race again. He's trying hard in his races and finished solidly along the inside in the hands of Paul Denton. Ideas Man, I think he's going for a break now. He finished at the tail. And the other runner in that small five-horse field was Spielberg, and he finished 4th of the 5. But, yeah, all honours with the winner, Batpad.
Race 3 went to Nashi's horse, 1 for Anna. This is another that paid well, $8.50. And what about Dreyfus running a race at $8 the place?
Yeah, my word, it was a good performance from One for Anna. He was pretty bullish, was the Nash man with One for Anna, and I know he had a little bet like he's wont to do, and she never gave her rivals a look in. Philip Kreitsch rode her; she won by space, and she's in again on Friday, of course. And I suppose the only question is the backup. I know you guys are struggling with the backup. We'll see. There's a few horses actually backing up this week from last. She's one of them, but she won by a space. If she only has to really reproduce that performance, and she'll be hard to beat again. Dreyfus was good. I had him in the mix. He'd come off a couple of trial runs here. That was his first start in the top end, so he did a good job. And the third place filly was Brave Fling. Well, it's knocking on the door. I had it as the best bet of the day, but wrong again.
Well, the margin was only 9.5 lengths, so you weren't far away, Andrew.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That sums it up, doesn't it, guys? Sums it up.
Don't worry, you owe me one now.
Race four went to Hannah Stroza, who you were with, I'm almost certain, yep. Last week.
Yeah, we got one right. Hannah Stroza was good, well ridden by Paul Denton out in front the whole way. Credit to Gary Clark and his team. This horse has had a few issues. I remember it racing at Catherine earlier in the season and ran to the outside fence and wouldn't steer, and Clarky was despairing of it. But to his credit, he persevered. Its last three starts have been a third, a second, and now that win. It's in again this week as well. Another one on the backup. But those horses that when they strike form on the dirt, often keep that form going. So he was good in Estroza, beating X Games. 3.25 was the margin there. And Flying Barty, having her first start in the top end. She was the horse, guys, that had got down in the gates when they let the field go at Gawler, if you'll remember that. They couldn't get her out, so they actually let the field go so they could then get her out, which is unusual, of course. But she had her first start here. Thankfully, all went well. She went in. She jumped out and she went a good race. So well done to the team with Flying Barty.
X Games, interesting runner. They're running second, as you mentioned, Andrew. A big drifter, 7s out to 14s, yet ran quite well.
Yeah. He went good. Yanis Luxeman took the ride, the Alice Springs-based Mauritian apprentice, who won a race in Alice Springs last Saturday aboard Rupert's Delight. He was aboard X Games. He's riding here again tomorrow. In fact, we've got 11 riders in Darwin tomorrow, which is great, hence the good fields that we have on this Friday fixture. We'll talk about those in a little while.
War Games took out race 5 for Philip Kreitsch and Dick Leach, and this horse was good value too, also.
Yeah, it was a good performance. They went really hard in this race. Hard to excel, set up a big lead, and probably in hindsight went a bit quick and capitulated early in the straight. And War Games, he got back last for Critchy and weaved his way through and finished with a wet sail and was too strong over concluding stages, beating Light and Dark, who fought on strongly for Tessa Townsend along the inside. Probably its best run for a while, Light and Dark. And third across was Blue Ant. He went his usual honest race. But they're all honest with the winner there, War Games.
He was short, Blue Ant. I did actually see that race. I've watched it a couple of times, and he never really got into the race, though, did he? The 61.5 probably doesn't help.
Yeah, that's true. Nothing really went right for him. Was carried a little wide on the corner by War Games, who was finishing through at a rate of knots, and he just whacked away to the finish, I suppose, Blue Ant. He'll win another race in the not-too-distant future. But as you say, carrying plenty of weight, that was a benchmark 54. Maybe if he goes up in grade a little bit to maybe even a 0 to 64 with a little less weight might be to his liking. But he wasn't bad.
And Sonia Wiseman brings up a soapy bubble winning the last, which was a good win.
Yes, he got this one up as well, Hokalesqua. I liked its only previous start in the top end, had finished second, a Virtuous Miss. He looks a pretty smart type for Tom Logan. And Angie Forster does a very good job with a small team. And Hokalesqua, well ridden by Sonia, got the chocolates in the last. Formerly trained, I think, I'm not sure. I was going to say Chris Waller there for a minute, but I'm not 100% sure.
Team Hawks.
Second Flying Deputy. Ah, yeah, I knew it was one of the guns. There you go. Yep. Thanks for that, Chris. Flying Deputy was a good run in second for Dick Leach and Phil Crouch, and number two, Manly Cove. His was a better run than it looked. He actually got stuck three wide the trip, and I thought he might drop away here in the straight. He was under pressure at the home team, but he actually kicked on fairly well to finish third in the hands of Paul Denton. But all honours with the winner there, Hokalesqua. A nice cut of a horse by Star Turn, got the white markings like his sire, and I think won't be the last time he's winning here in the top end.
Now, Friday's meeting is a really good one, and it's going to be interesting. Looking forward to this, and I'm going to be working on trackside, so we'll get a good look at a few of these horses. And I think, I'll tell you what else is, which is a positive for this meeting, Ash Butler and Mark Pegas making the trip to Darwin to kick a few round there. And, I think that also is good to have them boost the jockey ranks.
Yeah, my word. It's a really good meeting, guys. Just a little bit of background why those boys are here or how come they are here. Mark Pegas is a good friend of Chris Nash's. Mark, as you know, is a dual licence holder. He trains and rides. He's only recently come back to the riding ranks and has got his weight down. Nash, he was keen for him to come up and punch a couple around, and that's what he's going to do. I think he's got three rides on the day. He's the winner of about 970 races. He's a former Darwin Cup-winning jockey, won the Cup back in 2007 on General Market. He's also a Group 1 winning rider, won a Goodwood some years ago. So he'll, him and Wayne Davis, the two Group 1 winning jockeys in the room on Friday, they'll be able to have a bit of banter, no doubt. But great to see Mark Pegas here. And Ash Butler, he's coming to ride predominantly for Tom Logan, Tommy's partner and the leading rider here at the present time, Sonia Wiseman. Sonia just had a little bit of day surgery on a wrist problem that she's had. That was on Monday. So she's out this week. I spoke to her on Tuesday, hoping to be back for the last meeting in Darwin pre-Christmas, which is on the 17th, although her arm's all bandaged up. So I hope Sonia comes back for that meeting. If she doesn't, I told her not to worry, although she's in front in the Jockey's Premiership in the top end, one ahead of Jared Todd, and she's leading the Red Centre Premiership, so she doesn't want to lose a lead. And I said, there's plenty of time in the season to go, Sons. But that's the reason those two boys are here. Really adds to what's going to be a very good day's racing. And as you say, those experienced riders and bolstering our rider strength in numbers up to 11 this week. And we'll talk about a new rider as well. So we've got the experienced guys here on Friday, and we've also got a young lady having her first race day ride as well, young Emma Lyons.
And just on the Friday meeting, I'm gathering you don't have, I haven't seen a lot of Friday meetings. Is this like a Christmas party sort of set up meeting?
Dead right, Chris. 100% right. We normally have three Saturdays back to back in advance of Christmas in Darwin, but the Darwin Turf Club were keen to try a Friday meeting for the Christmas party market. You've hit the nail on the head. The uptake's been fantastic. The place will be pretty full tomorrow with a number of Christmas parties and businesses enjoying the festivities. And in fact, we've just done our dates for next December. Instead of just the one Friday, the club's keen to have two. So there'll be two Fridays and a Saturday pre-Christmas in 2023. Well done to the club for that initiative, and we're looking forward to it. Six races on the program. We've divided the benchmark 54, and should be some really, really good racing and good betting races come tomorrow.
Righto. Well, let's get into this meeting. And race one, as you've touched on, Emma Lyons having her first ride in a race, and there's no better horse to kick round than an old eight-year-old that's having start number 55. He's won 10 races, so he'll basically be able to just cart her around, and from that good gait, I think she'll get a sweet ride. It's always good to think for a jockey having their first ride at the races, ride something that's been around a bit.
Couldn't agree more, Sam, and it just takes the pressure off. He's a perfect ride, looking for you. Of course, he's trained by Phil Cole, the young Emma, who's a 16-year-old Darwin Lass, is apprenticed to. She's ridden a good number of trials here. She's also ridden trials in South Australia. She probably would have had a licence a little earlier, but she just had a wrist fracture not long back, so that took her a little while to recover from, but she's been back going well. She's keen, rides at about 53.5, I think, maybe 54 kilos, but she's keen. She's a Darwin girl, born and bred, so we're looking forward to young Emma kicking off tomorrow. She's got two rides. Looking for you, he's drawn four. He goes over the 1,300 metres. He races handy, so no doubt Emma will boot him out and get him up on the pace there, and he'll give her a lovely ride, I'm sure.
Can she debut with a winner?
Look, he's a chance for sure. I've got him in the mix. I thought War Games was the horse to beat, though, Chris, just on the back of that win last week. That was 1,100 in benchmark 54 grade. This is 1,300 in the same grade. And the way he got home over that 1,100-metre trip, there's no doubt that the extra journey will be to his liking. I suppose the question mark is the backup. But he's an old six-year-old. He's had 34 starts. He's trained by Dick Leach, and Philip Kreitch, who rode him last week, is back on. So I had him on top to beat number one, Freddie the Eagle, for Ash Butler and Tom Logan. Two wins back-to-back, and then a fourth placing last time out when not much went right. I had Zariski in to run third, trained by Gary Clarks, had the one start here in Darwin and should be improved by that. And Jared Todd back from a meeting suspension. He takes the mount. And I had Looking for You for young Emma in to run fourth. So those were my numbers, 5, 1, 3 and 2.
Race number 2 here. And this is field of 7. Emma Lyons, she's riding Meadows Young Buck. So first and second races for her to kick off. And then I'm sure the nerves will be settled by the time she gets to the second one. She'll be able to kick this round. Can this one deliver for her, Andrew?
I think it can. I think it can, Sam. I have it on top. Meadows Young Buck. His last start, second place here, was in a benchmark 76 mile. He's way back to a benchmark 54, 1300. So admittedly, he's down in trip. But Yanis Luxeman rode him last time, booted him to the front. He set up a bit of a lead, and it took a horse of the quality of Noir de Roux, who's been placed in two Darwin Cups, to run him down. He only has to reproduce that. Admittedly, he's back in journey, but it's been 3 weeks between runs, so hopefully he's got that freshness back in his legs, and I think he's very hard to beat, claiming the 4 kilos, of course, Emma, down to the six, from the 61 down to the 57, and I think this could give her the dream start to her career on day one. So number one on top for me, Meadows Young Buck. Beat number 5, Malibu Edition, Ash Butler for Tom Logan. Just forget he went round last time, got absolutely flattened just out of the gates in a race eventually won by Kudgery on protest. He was lucky he didn't come down, Malibu Edition, and Jared Todd rode on that occasion. Ash Butler goes on here. He's got to be the hardest to beat. And for third, Mr. Boone Jangles. He's a specialist over the 1,300 metres. He's won half a dozen races at the trip from some 29 starts. Test Townsend visiting from far north Queensland takes the mound here for Tayan Holter. And my fourth selection was number 6, Great Boulder. 1, 5, 4, and 6.
All righty. Race number 3 on Friday is the TRNT Off the Track Handicap. Benchmark 64, 1,200 metres, just a small field. But they all look to be racing reasonably well.
Yeah, smallest field of the day, the 64 here. Gary Clark holds the key, I think. He has 3 of the 5 engaged here, and I've got one of his, not surprisingly, on top, and that is number 1, Razu, Jared Todd aboard from the 1 gate. He had his first start back this campaign on Melbourne Cup Day, finished 6 of 9 behind Batpad. We know how well she's been going. That was in 0 to 70 grade. Drops in grade for this up and trip should suit to the 1,200 metres, and I think Razu's the horse to beat. Ahead of number 2, Crazy Lad, last start winner for Phil Cole. Yanis Luxeman retains the mount. It was a good ride last time this horse won from Yanis. Just sort of sat off the leaders, came home strongly down the middle of the track to get the chocolates. And in for third, number 3, Ice Ice Baby. having her second start in the top end. A horse bought out of the Tried Horse Sale here, held at the end of July. Should be an improver on that first up run. And Ash Butler gets a ride for the leading trainer here in Gary Clark. So 1, 2, 3, and 4 for me in race 3.
Race 4 is the Bet365 Lightning Series, Trobus Handicap over the 1,200. Mystery flies out of this race. Suguru drawn the one gate. It's going to get a good run.
Yeah, good little lineup here for the Class 2 gallopers, just the 7 with the defection of Mystery Flyer. And I thought Mark Pegas could get on the board here aboard number 2, Archie James. Another from the Tried Horse Sale, and this one in the Chris Nash stable. Has only had the one start in Darwin, did a good job winning here on Melbourne Cup Day in maiden grade over this trip. Young Luxeman rode on that occasion. Horse had a hard run in transit. He was 3 wide the trip. Took over on the home turn and kept going strongly to beat Flying Deputy by a length and a quarter. And I thought he'd be hard to beat again. Chris has given him plenty of time to get over that run. That was the 1st of November. And as we mentioned, Mark Pegas in the saddle looking for Kalia win, 972. Number 2 on top, Archie James, to beat number 4, Flying Deputy, who since that runner-up effort behind, Archie James has had a win in another 2nd. So he's racing well for Dick Leach and Phil Crouch. Cigaru into 3rd from the 1 gate. Luxeman rides here. Won last start, but lost it in the room when the protest was upheld. Kudgery got the money. Only has to reproduce that sort of performance to be in this again. And my 4th selection, number 5, Rojo Boom, a little horse with ability. 2nd up here for Mark 9 and Stan Sakos. 2, 4, 1, and 5.
Race number 5 is the Darwin Racing Handicap Benchmark 70 over 1,100 metres. And we've got, at this stage, 9 runners.
Think we should go around with the 9 of them. Belmont Day is the only defection. This is the best race of the day by far, and looking forward to the clash of some really good mid-grade sprinting horses here. Not the least of them, of course, number 2, First Crusade, my first selection. Raced by Chloe Baxter, trained by Chloe. Casey Hunter aboard. Returned from a 4-month spell in devastating fashion here on the 19th of November in 0 to 64 grade. Over 1,200 metres. This is 1,100. But won by 7.5 lengths, beat Early Crow. Absolutely gave them a toweling, did First Crusade. Led on that occasion and had them stretched out like a Shanghai coming around the corner and ran away to win by 7.5. Can go on with the job. Chloe's got a nice horse on her hands here, and I think he'll be winning race 5, but won't have it all his own way. I've got number 8, Virtuous Missing, to run 2nd. Ash Butler for Tommy Logan. Similarly impressive winning here on Melbourne Cup Day, admittedly in Class 2 company, won by nearly 6 on that occasion, beating Hokalesqua, who came out and won last week. So pretty good form lines around Virtuous Miss. Certainly up in grade, as we mentioned, but she's a mare with a pretty good record, only 19 starts, 3 wins, 7 seconds and 2/3. So I've got her right in the mix. In for 3rd, number 3, Vunivalu. Wayne Davis for Phil Cole. He hasn't raced for about 11 months, Vunivalu, but the winner of 10 from 44. Has had a couple of trials to fit him for this. I know Phil had been hoping that young Emma Lyons would be able to take the mount here, but she's only permitted to ride in races at this stage of no more than 8 runners, and this has got the 9, so Wayne Davis, the beneficiary there. And my 4th selection, number 4, and that's Global Wonder. Look for improvement out of him, Jared Todd, for Gary Clark. And then we've got others in the event, like Kudgery, won 3 of her last 4. Swingworth Jr., the 2nd of Chloe Baxter's runners in the event. And also another couple from the Clark stable in Petria and Papillette. And it's a really, really good race, as you can see, guys. Looking forward to that one at 4.57 NT time.
Beauty. And then the lucky last. Now, which way are you going here? But I see, I see Nashie's got Pegas on Air Command. Henestrosa obviously won last start. Can it go 2 in a row? And here's one for us selling up again.
Yes, good race to finish the card, the 1,000 metres. They'll go lickety-split here. I think Nashie can win his 2nd for the day here with 1 for Anna. Philip Crouch stays aboard. He rode her last week, so Nashie was keen for him to retain that association. So I've got 1 for Anna on top. She won by 8.5 the other day, and he never really moved on a Critchie. She's drawn handy this time. in barrier four. She was in barrier six the other day. She's got huge gate speed, this horse. You watch her out of the gate. She's a flyer in her early part of her races. So I think she'll lead. Henestrosa, I've got him for second. He's drawn out wider. He's in barrier eight. So he'll he won't be able to cross one for Anna, I'm sure, but I'm sure he'll race handy. Pulled in for Gary Clark. In for third, number one, Chief Mondo. Clarky again, Jared Todd aboard. Consistent type and draw on the outside is not going to make it easy, but he's a chance. And my fourth selection, number five, Brazen Pine. Wayne Davis, four. Phil Cole was a good third here behind Minister in this grade and over this trip. And that was on the 12th of November. But could be a good day for Christopher John Nash with one for Anna in the last.
Whoa, boom. So, rightio. Well, you are absolutely all over it, Andrew. Well, best of luck for this meeting tomorrow afternoon. And all the best for Christmas. Hope you have a great one. And we'll catch up into the new year.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Likewise, all the best for the festive season. And here's to a bigger and brighter 2023, and hopefully we can tip a few winners tomorrow and a lot more next year.
Thanks, Andrew.
All the best. Good on you, Andrew.
Good on you, boys. Thanks.
There is Andrew O'Toole. He's the main man there in Darwin, the Thoroughbred Racing NT CEO, and obviously form expert and tips bags of winners. Now it's good to welcome Tayan Holter on the line to Darwin Turf Talk. Good morning, Tayan.
Good morning, Sam. How are you?
All is well. All is well. Now, you've got an interesting, interesting history, Tayan. You've been a jockey, now trainer, and horse racing's been your life all the way along.
Yeah, I think I was nearly born on a horse's back. My dad was a jockey. My mum was an amateur rider. My whole family, basically, into racing, bookmaking many years ago, so I was destined.
You had no choice.
No, I think I was sleeping at the stables when I was born. Yeah.
It's funny.
So
it's funny.
Are you
about
Darwin
that,
born and bred?
No, Queensland originally. Sorry, mate. Yeah, Queensland. Good. Born and bred in Winton in Queensland, where my grandfather was training and my dad was riding. And I think my parents moved up to Darwin about 1970. Yeah, and moved to the territory to start racing horses up here, and my dad was still riding then. Yeah.
Where are we? And so I would imagine that obviously it would have been so different way back then.
Oh, well, like I said, I grew up here, was here for Cyclone Tracy, and I was lucky enough to get ride against my dad when I was apprenticed to my father, and we rode together for a few years before he retired, and so I sort of grew up in the territory, so I've seen it flattened and be rebuilt, and as a child went to school here, and I've travelled all over the country, Australia, but Darwin's home.
Wowee, that's amazing. And have you ever had any ambition to leave Darwin?
Nah, too cold down there for me, mate. I worked for Colin Hayes for a while, and every winter saw me come home. I couldn't do the winters down there. No.
Yeah, I bet. And yeah, what would be the best horse that you've seen in Darwin in your time?
Geez, that's like comparing Black Caviar and Tullock, and you just can't. There's been a lot of good horses in the territory. You look at the horses that have left here recently, like Desert Lashes left from Alice Springs, 8th straight before, went to Adelaide and then went over to Tony McAvoy. You've got Savitou Excel. I mean, them young horses that have started up here and went down there, they've been great horses, Clark, he gets some great horses from down south over Carnival, and look at old Itza him. What an old legend he was, winning a couple of Darwin Cups. And I just think there's too many in my time. And then you go back to the old days when my father and that were racing horses. There were some good horses back in the day. It's like anything. I think it's just great to see good horses go through their grades and achieve for the owners and the trainers. Yeah.
Tayan, you speak glowingly of your father, Bevan. Now, I believe there's a stable, there's a street named after your father.
Yeah, they on the street, the stable street across the road at the race course. So you've got the grandstand side, then obviously our stable side is on the back straight. All the horses are stabled there. And so that street is basically Bevan Holter Avenue. Turf Club did that for him probably 6 months before he passed away. Yeah.
It's fantastic. And now what has been the best horse that you've been involved with that your dad trained in your time?
Oh, my dad had a lot of good sprinters. Bowmaster 117, I think Thanks for Lunch 127. He was shy. He never wanted to go on cup as a trainer. I think he ran second with one of his horses. But a lot of good sprinters, my dad, in his time side saddle over the years. So they'd probably be his best. Towards the end of his career, Bowmaster retired at 13 with 17 wins under his belt. So he was unbeaten over 1,000 metres in his whole racing career. Yeah, so, yeah, more sprinters, though, with my dad. But he trained a lot of West Cup winners. He did a West round every year, like Wyndham, Cuddinara, Horse Creek, did that country round, Catherine races. He was very big into the country racing.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
How many horses have you got in your stable?
I had a small team of 12. Currently, we got up to 32 over the carnival last year. And now we've got 20 in work and probably got 8 in the paddock, 2 in Adelaide, and 1 in Bow Desert at the moment, Spelling. So probably maybe 32 on the books. Yeah, only 20 in the stable though at the moment.
Fantastic. And you've got a host of runners at this meeting tomorrow afternoon in the first Pointos pick with Casey Hunter on board.
Yeah, she's genuinely a mare that takes a couple of runs to get going, and then she's pretty honest. She's been a bit unlucky. First two starts, she kind of anticipated the jump and she'd come out of the gates pretty awkwardly. But then she ran a nice race with Casey on where she got home quite hard against the rail. So we're looking for a bit better showing from her with Casey back aboard, and she should be finishing off nicely.
Now in the second race, so you've got Mr. Boom Jangles. Tessa Townsend's making the trip to ride this one.
Yes, this old fella, he's a bit tricky, old fella. He likes a small field with a light weight, but I think he's had a bit of a freshen up, and 1,300 is his absolute pet distance. So we're hoping that he can put his best foot forward for Tess, and we should, again, he can race midfield to on the speed, so if he can be there handy, he should be getting home nice.
Yowza steps out in race number 3, another for Tessa Townsend.
Yeah, this horse, I think a tougher field, but I think he's small field, lightweight with Tessa's claim, gives him a bit of weight relief from his last couple of runs. And he is so honest, this horse. He just seems to find a little bit of bad luck in a few of his runs because he gets back and then he's got to find his way through the field. But I think he'll run his genuine honest race again in the small field.
Now in race 4, Tayan, you've got the two runners. Number 3, Beach Haven. Casey Hunter rides Beach Haven, having its first start for you, comes up from Victoria. And the other one there is number 7, Zip Lane. Now, Tessa Townsend will take the ride there on the quick backup.
Yeah, I'll start with Beach Haven. He's first up, obviously. He trialled nicely leading into this. It is his first run on the track, which can always be tricky, but he trialled nicely on the dirt. So we're hoping that he can bring that trial run, and he should be working to the line nicely at the finish. He's probably looking for a little bit further based on his runs down in Victoria and that, going through his form, but you never know, they can sprint well fresh.
And Zip Lane?
She's been a tricky one, this girl. She runs super when she goes super, and then she has some ordinary runs in between. And I'm thinking she's back in the right class, in a class 2, and she come through the last run well, so we're expecting a bit better show this week.
Race 5, you saddle up Noble War.
Nice mare, very nice mare. She went for a grades nicely last prep. She usually takes a run or two because she's quite a tubby, and she races a bit keen fresh, so she might be finding herself pulling a bit hard early, but after a couple of runs, she tends to settle, getting over the 1,200, 1,300. She tends to race a little bit kinder, so she'll probably need this one. And she'll be probably ready, maybe this one and another one, and then she'll be ready.
And in the last race, so you've got Tessa Townsend on number 9 here, and that's Madame Romanov. Six-start maiden, yeah, needs to just improve a little bit.
She's got good pay. Her first start here, she led them by about 6 or 7 and compounded at the finish, which was, you know, wasn't the plan, but she just begun brilliantly. And she's only a little filly, so she'll be probably having this one. It's more about education and just trying to get it. She gets back in the field, she gets her head up. She goes forward, she goes too hard. So we're just trying to one more run for education, I think, and then we'll put her in the paddock and let her grow up a bit because she's only a little filly. And she basically, she came here as a 2-year-old in just before August, and we had to sort of wait till she was 3, turn 3, and then the first of the 3-year-old maidens to come up. So she's probably ready for a spell now. She's had a couple of runs, and she'll be a nicer horse when she grows up a little bit.
So what would you say, if we're going to put our house on one, which one can we put our house on, Tayan?
None. It's hard racing. It's very hard racing tomorrow. The fields are good. There's, you know, you could throw your hat in the ring in any one of the races and there'd be a couple that'd be hard to beat. First crusade, Chloe Baxter's horse. There you go.
Boom.
I got one question for you, Tayan, before you go. One quick one. Obviously had most of your success in Darwin, but you've had a lot of winners at Wyndham. Now, that's a track I've done a lot of form, and I reckon I'm pretty much on top of every track in the country, but I haven't heard of Wyndham, and it's in WA.
Yeah, so they used to do, after the Cup Carnival here, they had a country round in the Kimberleys in Western Australia, and it used to be Halls Creek, Wyndham, Kununurra, and then we used to come back to Timber Creek, and this is the round my dad used to do, and obviously I was, when I started my friendship with my dad, we went over there and rode, and my partner, Lindsay Schmidt, he rode over there. So when my dad went, we just continued the tradition of going. And, you know, that country racing, you've got to try and keep it alive as much as you can.
Yeah.
It's getting harder and harder because as we get a bigger stable in Darwin, it's getting harder and harder to get away. But we do our best to try and keep it going. Wyndham, unfortunately, with COVID, they got shut down for a couple of years, which makes it very difficult because they're all volunteers. It makes it hard for them to get back on their feet. So this year we had Kununurra, 3 meetings at Kununurra this year, and hopefully maybe Wyndham can get back up and running next year.
And how far, excuse my ignorance, how far is it to get to Wyndham from where you are?
So it's Kununurra is about 800 k's from Darwin, and then Wyndham's on the water at the port, so it's about 100 k's on from Kununurra. So we usually base ourselves in Kununurra, and then we just travel over to Wyndham for the races and come home to Kununurra. Yeah.
That's
pretty
fantastic.
Picturesque race course, Kununurra, on the Ord River. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And just even can hear it in your voice, your passion for those meetings and the country racing, which, as you say, it's so important, isn't it, in all parts of Australia. But it's so important that we give them support and keep it going because it's good for the towns and good for the, you know, for the people that are little participants in horse racing, I think.
Absolutely, Sammy. Like when I started training, you know, I had a dual license, jockey trainer's license, and my first horse was a giveaway, you know, and I had to try and do something with a hand-me-down. And you start, everybody starts somewhere, you know, and you try and build your team and you try and build your owners. And that country racing, even for, like, you know, it's good to have horses that are winning in Darwin and winning at carnival time, but they're owners that invest in horses that they're just not carnival horses. So you've got to take them somewhere to win races for those owners to keep them in the industry. And keeping the turnover. And my owners love going to them bush meetings. They took their kids there when they were young, and those girls are now 21 and 22, and they come every year with their parents. It's their family holiday.
That's fantastic.
Know, and they love racing. Hmm.
Great to catch up, Tayan. I hope you train the card tomorrow afternoon. I'll be on trackside, so I'll keep a close eye. We'll be cheering them on.
You good will. On you, mate. Not too much. Don't cheer him too hard. Too much weight, we might be able to get him. No,
yeah,
they
don't want to be carrying me. Good on you.
Me.
There is Tayan Holter, who has had a great you know, great history in Darwin racing and around the traps, isn't it? It was a fascinating chat there, and really good to get in touch with Tayan and hear about all their runners, obviously, going into Friday night's meeting or Friday afternoon's meeting tomorrow. Now, Nashi, welcome to Darwin Turf Talk.
Thanks, Sammy. How are you?
All is well. Chris Nelson is here with me also. We're doing it. I'm at home. Chris is also at home on the line, and Cohen's steering the ship at the control deck. He does a great job week after week, as do you, Nashi, and form has been hot of late.
Yeah, not too bad. I've only got a small team at the moment, but they're all putting their hand up and sort of winning in turn. You know, I don't think they're overachieving, but they're
bit of background on Chris Nash, and it's been a really interesting one right from the start.
Yeah, well, I sort of, you know, did the normal sort of introduction to racing, and I left school sort of early to be apprenticed, and that didn't last very long because I had a bit of a growth spurt. So after that, I worked for a couple of good trainers. I worked for Philip Stokes, and at the same time, good mate of mine, Will Clark, and I were sort of the same age, so we were sort of growing up together and learning the ropes together, and he's obviously gone on and trained, but we sort of started off mucking around with a few horses together, he's obviously doing quite well, and I chose to shift up to Darwin and have a go up here.
When did you move to Darwin, Chris?
I've sort of been up and down a few times. I moved originally when I was about 16 to be apprenticed, and then went home and did a few stints of just coming up for carnivals, but sort of had permanently relocated probably 2 years ago.
And Nashi, right. So you spent a good bit of time down in Melbourne. I think, were you training at, was it Seymour or Avenel or something?
That's right, yeah. I had a very small team there. I was working for Stephen Brown as well, and just had a small team of probably only two or three horses at any one time, and I didn't set the world on fire, but trained a few winners down there as well, which was good.
Yeah, you had some success at Swan Hill, you had some success at Benalla, and you must have snuck over the border to Morfordville as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm originally from Adelaide, so I always like to get back to Adelaide whenever I can. But it was a good time down there and met a lot of people. It was a good experience.
And Chris, I can tell you that he likes having a bet, Nashi, don't you? You like putting a lump on.
He's digging a hole for you. First, before we had you on, he's telling us you like to have a drink and you can outdrink Sammy. Now you're having a bet. I mean,
it's not a good
picture.
Yeah. No, I've definitely tried to refine that over the years, which is easier said than done, obviously. Well adapted at both, I think.
You wouldn't be the only one.
But it is something that you know, obviously you would take a lot of pride in the fact that you can get a horse in your hands and set him up and have a bet.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, you're dealing with fairly limited horses a lot of the time up here, and you're not going to make a fortune in prize money. So you do have to sort of supplement it a bit. That being said, sort of up here too, once they're exposed and they win a race or two, that's it really. They never go around a big price again or anything like that. So it does make it a bit hard. If you can make the one crack work, it's good.
Now you're the trainer of the Horse of the Year 2021 Horse of the Year and the Palmerston Sprint with a winner, May Amin. Where's May Amin at this stage?
She's been retired and she's gone to stud. She was a good little buy. We just bought her off the online auction as a three-year-old with a view to sort of running her in the three-year-old races up here. But she sort of had a bit more toe than we expected. She'd won over, I think, 1,400 down there. So we kept her to the sprint trips, and she was pretty dominant. I think she might have only got beat once in her prep on the way through in that first prep, and it culminated with the Palmerston, which was terrific.
You trained 2015 CUB Horse of the Year, King Kev.
Yeah, he was a bit of a surprise one. He was another one. He just came up and sort of we rode the crest of a wave with him. He won a heap of races straight and culminated in the big off-season race, the St. Patrick's Cup. Sort of both of those horses were the same, really, as can happen up here. You get them, and if you can get their head right and get them ready, you can ride the crest of a wave and sort of string a heap of races together. But they don't sort of always come back up, you know. That I think that sort of hard prep of backing up, and you know, you we're obviously in a hot climate, and it takes a bit out of them. Sometimes they come back, and both of those horses were probably examples of that. It was great while it lasted, but they sort of didn't. They weren't the sort of horses that raced on particularly well, you know.
Now you trained, or you do train, Danan Roman, who ran second in the Darwin Cup in 21, finished out of the placings this year, gone for a break, obviously. He's a nine-year-old. Will he be back for another crack next year?
Yeah, he's actually gone. We transferred him down to Greg Connor in Alice Springs. So Greg's got him now. I think he's in work. Mm-hmm. And I imagine Greg will tune him up for an Alice Springs Cup. He ran second or third in the Alice Springs Cup.
Third, yep.
Yeah, the year just gone. So, he's obviously got a liking just for dirt tracks in general, not just Darwin. So Greg's got him now, and he's in work, and he'll tune him up for that race, I think. He's obviously getting a bit long in the tooth, but he's a pretty sprightly old horse, and he's got a bit of racing left in him.
Nashi, good to have Mark Pegus coming up for this meeting tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I'm good mates with Mark. He's done a bit of riding up here for us before. He's ridden a Darwin Cup winner, not for us. But he knows his way around the track, which is helpful. And he's obviously a talented rider, making his sort of comeback. And I'm always keen to use Mark whenever I can. Like I said, we're good mates. He's gonna come up and make a weekend of it. Stay, and we'll take him out and show him the sights.
Good times.
Race four is riding Archie James for you in the fourth race. Archie James, ex-Victorian, had one start for you and was a good winner.
He was a good winner, yeah, and he wasn't tuned up, to be fair. I was sort of, you know, confident enough he was going to go well, but we rolled him into that race fairly sort of underdone, you'd say. He didn't have a trial. We just had a sort of few solid gallops, and he just sort of came to hand pretty well, and I thought we'll attack that race without a trial, knowing that he'll train on. So he obviously won that race, and he's trained on really well since, so I don't see any reason he can't win again.
Race six, you saddle up One for Anna and Air Command, and Andrew O'Toole, he's a big fan of One for Anna.
She was good the other day. Her first run was a bit, she was sort of out of grade, and again, she was probably a bit like Archie James. I rolled her into that without a trial, and she sort of felt the pinch late in that race, and it was slightly underwhelming, but there were positive signs out of it in the speed she showed and how she pulled up, and she worked well between runs and went to that race the other day with a bit of confidence, being a weak race and knowing how quick she is, and she was... I sort of went there thinking she'd win, but certainly not like that. She was very dominant and ran good time, so everything sort of backed it up. Obviously, coming out of maiden grade, and she's on a fairly quick backup, considering, you know, the exertion of last week. But it's a suitable race. So really the only thing that I could black mark I could put against her name would be how's she going to back up. But everything in the stable says she's going to back up well, so you just got to trust that, I think.
And your other runner, Air Command, isn't on the quick backup, hasn't raced for 38 odd days. How's he going?
Yeah, he's all right. He's a very good very good track worker, almost too good. And I was sort of guessing, I think he might leave a little bit on the track. So I've gone very, very fresh into this. A couple of light gallops, very light gallops, because, you know, he can really set the track alight when you let him run. And we're just going to try and save that for race day. So slightly different approach this week. So it's more of a see if that works. Again, in the stables, he's thriving, so there's no reason to think it won't.
Nashie, great to catch up on Darwin Turf Talk, and best of luck with your runners tomorrow afternoon.
Good luck.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
There is Chris Nash. He does a great job with his horses and, as I say, likes having a bet, and often, more often than not, pulls it off when they load up, which is... It's a good quality to have when you're a horse trainer, Chris. When you tell the owners to put a lump on and they walk away with a couple of lumps, it's always good.
Yeah, when they walk away with no lumps, you're the one that needs to go and run and hide.
Well, it doesn't happen very often for Nashie, because he knows horses inside out, does a great job with his horses. Well, that is Darwin Turf Talk for another week, and the last one for this year. So we will be back on deck in the new year, in January. And thanks to all the listeners. Hope everybody has a super Christmas and new year. And Chris Nelson and myself will be back on deck with Darwin Turf Talk in January.